So one of the things, places that I always wanted to go in my life is Peru. I've been to North Africa, South Africa. I have been to North America. I've been to Europe. I've been to Asia. And this is a dream I've had since I was about 16. I wanted to learn the language and I wanted to go to Peru. My mother's been to Peru. I have never been to Peru. Despite having that desire, I've never been. Why have I never been? I guess it has never quite been a priority for me. And the second thing is, I've never actually bought a ticket to go there. So it's not surprising I don't get there if I don't buy a ticket to get there, because I've just had other priorities. And it's a bit like that with our reading today, with a different outcome. If you want something to happen, you have to make it a priority and you have to make it an action in your life. And that's our challenge for us today. And in our reading today, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. But they didn't receive the Holy Spirit when he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive it till Pentecost, till he had gone up to heaven, till he had ascended. So the promise was there, but the fulfillment wasn't. But unlike me, Jesus, as God always does, when he has an action, the action is then fulfilled. So Pentecost did come and everything changed, and it became, God's church became an absolute priority, and there was lots of action, and the community and the world and all eternity changed as a result of the birth of the church. And Jesus just spoke, just as he did right in the beginning, where he spoke very earth and creation into being. And so for us today, I want to paint a picture of that endpoint, the Pentecost, if you like, but also where we are, that place where we are and where we need to go. So, if you like, it's the difference between going from A to B. And I want to talk about those two places. I want to talk about A and I want to talk about B. Now, our vision is to creating a people and a place of prayer, care, and share. And last year, we spent the year focusing on prayer. And an incredible amount of prayer happened. People's lives got transformed. People learned to pray. People prayed out loud for the first time. People prayed for the first time. And we came together as a church in new ways to pray and to seek God. I worked out that we spent over a week non-stop in prayer. We didn't actually pray for a whole week non-stop. But as a church, if you add all our prayer meetings up, it was over a week. And that doesn't include all personal prayers. But the real outcome was in the heavenlies, because prayer is just like that. It is a promise, and then the promise is fulfilled. And prayer isn't often answered instantly, but the promise is there, the prayer is there, and then the outcome is there, A to B. And so, as we're going to keep on praying. We're not going to stop praying. We're going to keep on praying and praying and praying. Yeah. And I'll talk about that some more another day. But today I want to paint that picture of a dream of care. That B, if you like, the B place, where I'd like us to be in 1 year's time. I would love us, and I don't know whether you've ever come in here and you've thought, you come in here with a burden and you would love somebody to notice that you're struggling. Maybe at home something's going on that you're struggling. Maybe in your workplace, or maybe with your family, or maybe with your health. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody was always there to care? Maybe you've struggled with a bereavement and you need somebody to be there at the right time. Maybe it's a practical thing which you really need help with, and you need somebody to care. And this next year, we want to learn to care better as a church. We haven't always got it right, but how amazing it would be if you knew that whatever happened in your life, whether you were single, married, family, whether you just had a baby, or whether you were a grandparent, somebody would be there to stand with you on that journey when things are tough. Now, that is happening But we've still got quite a long way to go, I know. That when you go into hospital, there's always people to stand with you. When you need somebody to cook you a meal, there's somebody there. Wouldn't that be amazing? And some of us struggle to ask for help, but somebody would notice anyway. That idea where care goes, and it's not kind of fluffy care, but like, you remember those of you that we're going move towards the mess. That when we see something which is challenging, we don't run away from it, but we engage even in the mess. Remember the guy on the side of the road where the Good Samaritan comes and helps. He was a mess. He was a Samaritan. And yet he moved towards the Good Samaritan, moved towards the man on the side of the road. So that's where I want us to be in a year, a place of deep, real, practical, spiritual, emotional care. Now, I'm not expecting perfection, but how do we get from A to B? How do we get to a place of real care where we know that our needs will be met? Well, for some of us, it's further than others. And I do want to just talk a little bit about that in a moment, about what that looks like, because there are two different groups of people, and some of us it happens more naturally. They're what I call the carers. They are the people with the gift of care. They're pastoral assistants, and some they often don't know who they are, but naturally it comes to them to visit people, to care people, to bring them food, to love them. They are the carers. They are the people with the gift of care. And then you get these other people who aren't natural carers. That's me. I'm not a natural carer. You may have noticed. I need to learn, though. But those of us who aren't natural carers, even men, believe it or not, we can learn to listen. We can learn to care. We can be equipped, because we want it not to be to have a bunch of people who are the best, who are the carers, and the rest of us sit back and do nothing. We want everybody in the church to be caring. Whether you're a natural carer or whether you're somebody who needs to learn to care. We want everybody. Now, I'm not saying the people who learn to care will be on the front line of our caring in church. But we all go off somewhere. We've all got neighbours or maybe work colleagues or people at school or at home or families or grandchildren. We've all got environments which God has put us in and called us to care in a radical way. And it might be, you know, in your workplace, and it changes. And over different seasons, it changes. But God has put us there and he wants us to care. Now, I first want to talk about those people who are the natural carers. Now, they are people, we've got people who are training or who already are PAs. And we have what's called a care action team. And they're called an action team because they want to make action happen. Remember, they want to make it our priority in the church, and they want to make it an action in the church. And the care action team is led by Grace Luke and the pastoral assistants. And we want you, if you are a natural carer, to come and join the pastoral team, which the care action team will facilitate to help us make that happen. So the bereavement course was that we're just doing at the moment is organized by that care action team. They've made it happen to help us to be better at either help dealing with bereavement ourselves or helping other people go through bereavement. It is for both of those, and that's the kind of training, equipping and encouraging. So when these things happen, can I encourage you to engage with them and to get on board with that training and to learn? Because unless we make it a priority and then have action, we will never change as a church and go deeper and be better at our caring. So that's one part of becoming God's people of care. There's another thing which we realized as a leadership with Joe and I and Jasmine to some extent, and Tom to some extent as well, is that actually we are now over capacity with paper, and paper is taking away from us spending time with people. So, and I know it happens all the time, But we have got this administration, which we have to do, and it's good, and it's wonderful, and it makes this church run smoothly. Now, Lisa, we've got Lisa, who's our administrator, but Lisa's problem is she is now already over capacity with the administration and can't take on any more. So our only way that we can see forward, and we so believe that God has provided someone for this as well. God's provided, at the moment, seems to be leading and guiding us so clearly in this, and he's provided somebody who's currently training at Bible College, but has to work because in order to live. And what we were hoping to do, and I'm talking about Marcel Falconer, who's at Bible College training, she's got a gift of administration, and she's got such a heart to work in our church, but can't. So what we're hoping to do is to sponsor her so she doesn't have to work, but can come and give her time in administration, freeing up Lisa to some extent, but Joe and I and Jasmine and Tom to do more people time rather than administration, because that's her thing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, I wonder whether God's calling you to sponsor her, either as a one-off gift or maybe as a monthly gift or weekly gift, however you want to do it. Maybe God's calling you to do that, which will transform Joe and I's ministry and Jasmine's to help us do better. What we would really want to do is people rather than paper, although some administration is people, obviously, as well. So have a think and a pray about that. The second area that I want us, so that's becoming a people of care, equipping, training for us, whether we're gifted or not gifted, so we can all be better prayers. And then this whole administration is, just releases us to being more people-focused rather than paper-focused. The second area is becoming a place of care. That's part of creating a place of care as well. And to that, I want to speak a bit about the universal language. You see, we all differ in what music we like. We've got different services because we like different styles of services. And we celebrate that here in Burford because God made everyone different. But our universal language that we all love doing, and we quite like doing it together, at least most of us do, is eating. We love food and drink in this church. And it's great because you can get to meet people of all different ages, everyone different background, and we have all sorts of things. But part of that means we need to get the place right. And I'm talking about our kitchen. Now, we've got a wonderful kitchen, but it's not currently serving our needs. So, in fact, it's been used so much, the first thing we're going to do, and it's on our term card, is we're going to clean it thoroughly and utterly, get everything out of it, clean it, and put it all back again. And that's wonderful. It hasn't been done for 30 or 40... No, I'm only joking. It is clean, but we want to make it spotless clean. And as part of that, for health and safety, to make sure we don't poison people, because poisoning isn't really a very caring thing to do, we're going to do a hygiene course. So all the people using the kitchen, we know, so we're using the kitchen well, preparing food well. It's all part of just doing things well. And so if you use the kitchen or would like to come on the hygiene course, that's coming up too. And the last thing I want to do in the kitchen, and some of you will feel very inspired when I say this, is to replace our broken sterilizer and produce a, and to get a proper commercial dishwasher. We can't get domestic one, and a high-level one, so the older people don't have to lean down with heavy, great big heavy trays, which is currently what's happening, but replace our broken one with a commercial one. And so some of you may be inspired to give that. They are expensive, so we're looking for people to maybe donate to that, or to give a one-off gift or a regular gift so we can purchase that dishwasher. Because currently at the moment, those of you who were here last week, we don't have spare money. We've got all the vision in the world. God keeps giving us vision, but he hasn't quite given us the money yet, which means that it's in our bank accounts and we need to give it to God to make sure that his vision happens. So the second thing I want to talk about is some of our facilities. So the Barnabas Room, it's just been used so much in helping us to get to that place of being. So we've been doing talking to people and listening to people who have been abused. We've been listening to people who just need to talk, and mentoring, training all up there, our CAP course has, our action team, our care action team, that's where they're meeting, our new Barnabas room. We do lots of prayer up there. We've done counselling. We've done supervision happens up there. The CAP course happens up there. All sorts of things. And it's going to be used more and more in this area of care because we don't have anything else like it. But what we haven't yet done is pay for it. The other area that is our front office. And anyone who comes in the day, you'll get a warm welcome and possibly a cup of coffee as well when you tip up here on in a morning, whereas Lisa and her team greet people out there. And you know, I've seen people out, just people walk through the door and people looking for their children or older people. And that's become more and more our connection point with our community. So vital that office and that space out there is just a brilliant space. But again, we haven't actually paid for it completely. People have very kindly given us interest-free loans, which we need to pay back again. So to make those, and we need to pay for running them and everything else. So maybe one of those, maybe the Barnabas room or the front foyer is an area which you feel challenged to be able to give to, either a regular amount or a one-off amount, so we can pay off those loans. And use these facilities and get on to the more of the vision that God keeps giving us, more vision and more outward going. And it's getting more and more exciting, but we do need to be able to pay for that. So maybe God's speaking to you about paying for those loans. So this is where we're going to go. We've got this picture at B, that place we want to be, where we are deeply caring. And the truth is, at some point, we're all going to need to be on the receiving end of care. Radical care, some of us more than others, and we're not quite getting it right now, and we want to get it better and better, and we need God to do that, okay? But God chooses how he acts in this world is through his church, his people, in other words. That's you and me, and you and me need to check on our priorities and act this coming year. So I'm inviting you to take this card, which has got all about this, home with you. Maybe you feel inspired. I had somebody at 9:15 saying, yep, right, God's already spoken to me. And he signed me up. And that's what God does. If you've got something you think, that's something I really care about. I would also say that, I mean, some of you are visitors, or some of you, God will simply say, no, you don't need to give any more money. You're being wonderfully generous. And that's, oh, in fact, you need to reduce your giving. That's fine. I'm not trying to persuade you to give more money. I'm trying to persuade you to ask God what he wants you to do with the money that he has given you. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to ask God. And he does make it really clear. He just sometimes prompts you and go, yeah, I want you to give money to this. And if you just ask him, he'll show you in one way or another. If one of those things, all of those things, or none of those things. But let's not be afraid. So we make sure there's no point in being this world, because one day we've got to meet God, and we're going to say, and he's going to say, thank you so much that day when they were asking for you to help me achieve this in your community. And you were generous with your time, you were generous with your money, and you were generous with your action. Thank you so much. So I'm going to pray now as I finish for this, and just invite God to speak to us now. And then we're going to watch a very short video.